Welcome to the PR Moment podcast. Produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
On the podcast this week, I'm chatting to Chris McCafferty, Group CEO of MSL UK. For those of you that don't know, Chris has been at MSL for about a year and a half. Chris worked for Red, Microsoft, Weber Shandwick, MySpace and Shine previously. In 2010, Chris launched Caper PR, which was a JV with Karmarama. The Karmarama Group was sold to Accenture in 2016. MSL in London employs about 150 people and is owned by Publicis. Before we start, thanks as ever so much to the PR Moment podcast sponsors, the PRCA. And if you haven't taken a look yet, all the categories for the PR Moment Awards 2021 are on the awards microsite, prmomentawards.com. Chris, welcome to the PR Moment podcast.
Thanks, Ben. Good to be here. Good to see you.
I just think about MSL. You've been there, 18 months or so now. But as I mentioned in my intro, you built and sold Caper before it was sold to Accenture, you must have had a choice when you joined MSL in terms of where you're going to take your career next. Why did you decide to join a large network firm as opposed to going down that startup agency route again?
Yeah, it's a good question, Ben. I mean, the simple answer is because it's something entirely new and something new for me to learn. But I guess the more detailed answer is that I had three choices at that point. So we sold the business to Accenture in the very tail end of 2016. I spent essentially 3 years as a management consultant within Accenture Interactive, helping to set up a new business within that. And it was great. I had a fantastic time, learned a huge amount in 3 years, learned about what it is to work in a truly scaled business like Accenture. But it didn't make me happy, right? And I really missed the craft of what we do within communications and the creativity of the industry. And so I had three choices at that point. I could stay at Accenture. I think I could have made a decent career there. I had funding for another new startup at that point and was in one sense, itching to go again and start up all over again, because those early years are some of the best years you'll have. But then I met Annette King, who's the Group CEO of Publicis UK, and she talked about the vision for the group and the work that she was doing to make the Publicis Group a truly integrated offering, and that the PR business and influence business that I run within Publicis needed some attention. And I was just really tempted by it. Annette's a force of nature and a fantastic leader and a real inspiration. And I'd never done the networked thing properly. You mentioned Shandwick earlier. I was an account manager there for a year, so it doesn't really count. So I was intrigued to, you know, stretch some muscles in a different space and try the network thing. And I'm absolutely loving it. I'm really enjoying it.
Just talking about it, what's the difference? Resource, basically, is it? You can get stuff done quicker because you have more people to do it. Is that what are those sort of broad differences between networked and startup world?
Yeah, I mean, resource is definitely one of them.
I should say, independent.
Resource is definitely one of them. You typically have deeper resources, not necessarily different, but deeper. We've done a fantastic job at Publicis of breaking down any remaining barriers between the agencies. So all the agencies still have unique cultures and unique capabilities, but we're all driving towards a similar same goal for the group. And that's huge, right? So if I need data scientists from the Publicis data practice, if I need management consultants from Publicis Sapient, if I need a creative team out of Saatchi & Saatchi, that genuinely happens. And that's not just hot air, that really does genuinely happen. So it's great to have those sorts of resources. And I think I'd go back to my point about working in a scaled business, you know. So I've been sat on my own in day one of my agency, me, no staff, no clients. So I've been at entirely the other end of that scale. And now the levels of relationships that we have as the Publicis Group with CMOs, with CEOs, etc., is you know, it's just a more strategic relationship than you typically have as a smaller independent startup agency. You know, like all small agencies, we would talk to our fair share of CEOs in Caper, but that level of strategic relationship that we have with our big clients is just a step up.
Right. Let's just talk to you about MSL, because, you know, as an observer, you're only ever looking out from the outside looking in, right? So whoever quite knows, but from the outside looking in, it seemed to me that MSL had a tough 10 years before you joined. It just seemed to be one of those agencies that, I suppose, frankly, had a different strategy every 18 months or so. Did you kind of agree with that or not?
I wouldn't comment on the different strategies because I haven't followed it, but certainly the business has had, probably not had its most stellar of probably 5 years, I would put it at. And actually, commercially, it's been really quite strong. It's been a bit of a well-kept secret within the industry that it's got an extremely strong commercial performance over that time. But what I think it lacked, and that's what we're really addressing with the strategies that we've got now and the vision that we've got now, is to really modernise and make the business more progressive, make the agency more progressive in the way that it works, in the creative philosophies that we have in the platforms that we use, and really driving to be what we're hoping will be the most kind of opinionated, most progressive networked agency in the market. Now, that's a vision for the agency. We've made loads of progress on that in the sort of 16, 18 months I've been there. We've brought some really big, big name clients in, like Puma, like AXA, like Bank of America, like Subway. But we've got lots more work to do, and that's what we're all working towards together as a team, and really driving to make us the most progressive networked agency.
Right. Well, I was going to come on to that later, but let's go on to that now. It's been a bit of a V-shaped cycle lockdown for you guys, hasn't it? I think a lot of agencies, you got hit pretty hard in something like Q2 of 2020. But yeah, you've had a bit of a run on new biz wins there. It's quite a There's some big brands there. Was it AXA, Puma, Bank of America, Subway? Is that all in the last 6 months?
It's all in the last sort of 9 to 10 months. I guess the Puma was sort of February of last year, so going on for a year. But yeah, we've had a fantastic run of new business. Our 2020, I think, probably was similar to many agencies, be it big or small. We had a very challenging Q2, and we recovered incredibly well. And our second half of the year, in particular, we got back to the levels of budget that you would expect and beyond. So it was a great year. The team pulled together incredibly well. I'm really proud of the way that we made ourselves even closer to our clients, closer partner to the clients, and that drove great commercial recovery and brought the team together as well culturally, and really, really delivered. And that's actually just carried on. We've won two or three new things, can't talk about them yet in 2021, but we've got real momentum going into the year and high hopes of a really successful year.
Because it's often an underestimated thing, I think, isn't it? With people like working on big brands that they that can do fun work for. So presumably having the likes of Puma and those sorts of accounts really helps on that side.
Yeah, it does. I mean, good agencies and good brands do obviously tend to go together. And it's an interesting conundrum that big doesn't always mean progressive and creative, right? So some of the biggest brands that many of us have worked on in our careers, I won't name them, aren't necessarily the most brave and progressive in their work, right? Because they're sat in a slightly more, they're often market leadership place, and perhaps that allows them to be slightly more complacent in their work.
They've got more to lose, right? I don't know, but
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we do our best work with businesses that are at a moment of change, and whether that's a moment of change in the product that they offer, in the purpose that they're bringing to the world, or simply a moment of change internally with the team. At that moment of change, they're willing to listen to new ideas and thinking about doing new, interesting, more creative, more progressive, more interesting work. And I think that's when we do our best work.
Right. And how has it been for you? Because I say you've been there, 18 months or so? I'm trying to work, where are we now? About 10 months of that have been in lockdown. So that must have thrown up a few challenges for you personally, trying to lead the business virtually. But clearly you're pretty new there yourself.
Yeah, interesting. I think it's worse for Joe Grierson, who's the MD that I brought in to help run MSL with me. Joe had about 6 weeks, I think it was, in the office before going into lockdown. So it's been tough for her and for both of us. Yeah, look, it's a challenge. It's a common challenge, clearly, for everyone. And I'm proud of the way we're dealing with it. I think I'm glad I had that 3 or 4 months in the office to get to know people prior to that lockdown period. So I knew the characters, I knew some of the personalities and their own quirks, and equally they got to know me as an individual as well. So I think I was lucky to have that initial period in a kind of conventional office environment to get to know everyone. But then since then, you know, like all good agencies, we've worked really hard to pivot to a distance environment where we maintain the culture and really try and keep the connection going and keep that sort of pastoral care side going so that people feel looked after.
I'm sure there's loads of different things you've done, but broadly, what sort of schemes have you put in place to retain, stroke, build that culture? Because it's tough, isn't it, remotely, trying to, you know, there is an argument that it's the longer this lockdown goes on, trying to retain the culture that you had in the business before lockdown gets it ever more difficult, right?
Yeah, I think the basics of this are relatively simple. So we've asked people to really double down on the basics of communication, of checking in, of making sure that, you know, line manager conversations and developmental conversations are happening regularly. We still need to do more on that and keep that going.
Put a systematic approach to that. You know, is there a for everybody who for all the teams, does the line manager have a, you know, a tick box? Have you spoken to Ben? Have you spoken to Chris? Or is it a bit more informal?
No, we're trying not to put that kind of tick box in, because I have a simple kind of mantra that culture beats rules every single time. So you got a choice, haven't you, in a sense? You can build a culture-based, values-based business, or you can build a rules-based business. And I just believe, particularly in the types of agencies and the people, the creative people that we attract to those agencies, that culture and values win every single time. So it's not about tick box, it's about getting people to feel their responsibilities around that, both as, you know, be it the manager and the managed, as it were, in that context. But we just want people to feel that and believe in that and adopt it.
Right.
We've done the classic stuff. So we have two, you know, informal check-in points, Thursday evening, Tuesday morning. Probably the one thing that we've introduced, which isn't a specific COVID thing, but is a really fantastic new platform for the agency, is we've got a quarterly values award called the Renegade Master, which is recognising the individual who's most represented our values. We've introduced a new set of values across the business. That individual gets 2 free days off and £1,000 to go and do something, which again represents our values, and that's gone down brilliantly. And there's some fantastic stories kind of emerging out of that, and that has really, really, really motivated people and brought people.
Like what sort of things have people done?
The first winner helped to create a reading library for a care home close to her, I think close to where she lives, and her and her friends dedicated the money and the time to enable the residents of that care home to enjoy the kind of the power of reading, right? And it was the story is a really huge emotional story and completely scans back to our values of being a caring business that looks after each other and connects with each other. And it's just a fantastic story and something that has put smiles on all of our faces.
And I know it's not about the cash particularly, but there's a prize, isn't there? It's
£1,000. So right. We give that individual £1,000. You know, the only kind of rule is you can't take it to Selfridges and spoil yourself, because that isn't really what it's all about. You need to do something. But, you know, it's like, for example, you know, I'm a passionate cyclist, so maybe I would want to enter the Étape de Tour and cycle a stage of the Tour de France, because that would be getting out there and challenging myself and doing something. Right. Somebody else who's a passionate cook might go on a, you know, chef school weekend and then cook dinner for 10 of their mates at the agency. It's that kind of thing where you go out, you learn a skill, you indulge your passion, and you bring that story back to the people in the agency.
But wasn't it, you were saying that you'd done a relatively recently, you'd done an employee engagement survey and, you know, you'd had good results, which bearing in mind what we were saying earlier about the journey MSL has been on, it's that must have been quite satisfying for you.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great. I mean, it's publicist-wide employee engagement survey, so all of the agencies. And, we scored really well in lots of areas. Thankfully, we scored well in leadership, so that's a relief. We scored well in employee engagement. We scored well in the connection across the agency. We've got areas to work on. We need to communicate better with people. We need to be more open with people. Guess what? We need to pay people a little bit more. I would argue we pay really well, but I've never seen a single engagement survey that where people have, everyone has said, yeah, we'll get paid brilliantly. Thank you very much. But all good feedback.
Funnily enough, they'd never come back saying we want to be paid a bit less.
But no, never seen that, Ben. Never.
And when you, just with the values, because I guess it's all kind of connected up. You talked about your values a bit there, but you've got this positioning product, which is around We Build Belief as well, have you? Which, well, it's not really, it's an IP, is it? Because it all threads together is basically what you're trying to do, I guess.
Yeah, the way I describe it in a sense is it's a point of view on the world, and that kind of goes back to my history and independent agencies and that question of, the differences between independent agencies and networked agencies. And one of the things that allows smaller networked agencies to sometimes win versus their bigger counterparts is they have a really magnetic point of view on the world. So something that the agency clearly kind of wears on their sleeve. And I think what we've got with our new position of We Build Belief is it reflects an increasing focus and importance in audiences on the values and emotions that drive people's decision making, whether that's, you know, preference or which movements and so on they choose to follow. And for us, it's a step on from the slightly what I would say is old-fashioned, if you like, logic and trust-based thinking that the industry is often focused on in the past. So it's really, really powerful for us. It's become a big part of our values as well, and it really is driving not just the way that we show up as people, but the creative work that we create and the insights that we're able to bring to clients.
And why is it important, do you think, for agencies to have a view on the world? Because it's the danger is it's put into a PDF and stuck on the website or whatever else. You're presumably talking about from a client engagement perspective, are you? Is that where it's useful? It just helps open doors and in what way is it important, and in what way does it work?
Well, you've got when you're selling to clients, you've got two choices and they overlap and they're both useful, but you've got the rational side of persuading them that you can provide the capabilities that they want, but then often as powerful is the emotional side of these are people that I really want to work with. I love what these people stand for. I love the way they think. And that's not entirely rational. That's an emotional decision in itself. In fact, it's a belief-led decision, arguably. So I think it gives us a competitive advantage over those agencies where, you know, their positioning statements are perhaps a bit dry and slapped on the website and on that PDF that you mentioned and aren't lived. You know, our huge focus is to become a people-first, culture and values-based business where we help clients drive belief, right? And that is absolutely right for lots and lots and lots of clients. And I haven't had a single conversation where we've introduced the belief thinking where a client hasn't been at least intrigued to hear more. And so for us, that's really helping to drive our energy and momentum across the agency.
Right. And we talked a bit about I suppose the COVID-driven operational changes you've had to make, but I just get the feeling that what you're trying to do, and sounds like you've done it to as ever any work in progress. But you've given MSL some momentum in the time you've been there. How have you done that? Because especially over the last 10 months that we've all been through, trying to inject momentum into a PR agency is a difficult thing to do, isn't it? In the end, you need to start winning clients, and then you can start hiring better people and all that stuff. But it's how do you start that process? Because you've obviously you have done that.
I think we've reintroduced a real sense of confidence into the team. So I think the team is confident that we have a vision for the agency that they all buy into, and that is attracting the kind of progressive client that we all want to work for. Yeah, we have a simple mantra in the agency that we're trying to provide career-defining opportunities for people. So again, this has been really important in my career. Right, I've had three, what I would describe as three career-defining opportunities that I still talk about now. So the first was the Red Consultancy. I was at Red, I joined Red in 1996, I think. And it was at that point when Red was, I think we were 30 people when I joined, we were 110 when I left 7 years later, and we'd won Campaign of the Year, we'd won Agency of the Year, etc. We were that sort of hot agency at that time. My second career-defining experience is MySpace. I launched MySpace all across Europe and was part of the senior management team that brought that social network to the world, which was amazing. And then, of course, I launched my own agency, which we've kind of talked about. And those are things where you make friends for life, you do work that you still talk about for the rest of your career, and you reference back to those moments where you were defined as an individual in a working context. And that's what we want for people. We want people to have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years with MSL, do some of the best work of their careers, and then we would love it if they move on and, you know, go and have more experience and take that experience with them, and they leave as friends. And that's fantastic, and we love that. So I think people are getting a sense that that is the agency that we're creating. We have got a lot more to do. It is not done. We're 18 months in, and we've got a lot more ambition ahead of us. But I think people get that vision and they're buying into it.
Just talk us, because I find a lot of agency leaders have had, by no means all actually, but that time in house is often very valuable, right? Does that, do you lean on that quite a bit in your decision making that you do?
I'm a better agency person because I had a period in-house. So I didn't have a long period in-house. I had about 4 years, two at MSL, two at MySpace, two at MSN, sorry. But yeah, I think I understand the pressures of that in-house job better because I've been there and done it. Neither of those places did I have sort of large, complex PR organisations. They were both quite small teams, but it's given me a really good insight. I've found ultimately that I miss the commercial side of agency. I loved the sell, and I enjoy the new business process. I absolutely love that, and I enjoy the kind of thrill of the chase, which you don't necessarily get.
Yeah.
On the in-house side, but I definitely do draw on that, Ben, yeah, and can kind of empathise with the experiences that our in-house clients have.
Just on a very practical level, how did you turn it around? Because, I suspect that 18 months ago, MSL wasn't on the long list in terms of a pitch perspective for the likes of, well, I don't want to name names, but let's say some of the bigger accounts in London. But you've obviously done something that you're now getting on those pitch lists. Is that your contact? Is it from times gone by, or was MSL always on those sorts of pitch lists?
It's a team effort, without a doubt, and it's a responsibility of everybody in the agency to help drive growth, right? So it's a big team effort, and that's happened by us again. I talk about perhaps just getting a bit of swagger back in the agency and having our own confidence to go out there. It was always a great agency. It just wasn't talking about itself with confidence. So that's that we've reinstilled that confidence into the people. And then, of course, we've got a massive bonus of being part of the publicist group. And we're unashamedly making the most of that and driving connection with Saatchi & Saatchi and Leo Burnett and Starcom and all the other fantastic agencies that we've got within the group. And that's a big part of the strategy, and we're lucky to have that.
Right.
So it's been very good.
Well, you talked about how closely you work with the other parts of the Publicis Group. I get it from an agency perspective. That's clearly working nicely. How connected are you in terms of the leadership? Are you left to get on with it, or is it quite a close reporting structure, so to speak?
Well, I sit on the board of Publicis UK. I run a thing called the Influence Practice, so that encompasses MSL and then our sustainability consultancy, Salter Baxter. It's the first time that practice and flavour of work has been directly represented on the board of Publicis Group UK. So that's a big thing. It means, you know, that's a show of faith in the growth that we will provide for the group. So that's great. Then on a, you know, agency by agency perspective, of course, we are within the context that the group provides, we're encouraged to do our own thing and develop our own business and be hungry. And, you know, all cultural decisions, for example, are taken at agency level. And, you know, the Saatchi's culture is different to the MSL culture, is different to the Starcom culture, and that's to be fostered and enjoyed. But we have a kind of rallying cry around Vive la Différence, where it's, you know, that's been at the heart of Publicis since day one. And, you know, we just believe that our difference makes us stronger. And that, you know, you can see that again in the people and the work. And when we come together as one, it's a pretty powerful thing.
It's an interesting balance, I guess, isn't it? Well, it's a hard one to get right between making sure you connect the agencies well to take advantage of opportunities and put the right people on the right account and all the rest of it, and keeping that individual culture and differentiation between the different businesses within the group. And that must be something you have to work quite hard on.
Yeah, for me, the key thing is confidence, right? So if both sides of that equation are confident in the other part, then it becomes glass half full on both sides, right? It becomes an optimistic picture. So in MSL, we've been very lucky that we've got great relationships with all the agencies. And so in a sense, we've got, I think it's 21 other agencies in market supporting us. And there's, you know, barely a week goes by that the group doesn't generate a fantastic opportunity. So equally, the Publicis Group, I think, has a refreshed confidence in what MSL and also the sort of Baxter guys are going to provide for the group, and they've got real confidence in the quality that they're going to get from those agencies. So in that scenario, everyone's pulling for each other, and there isn't that sort of, you know, occasional glance over the shoulder that you can get in big networks where you're not entirely sure you're all on the same side. So I think it all comes down to confidence, and that's absolutely flowing at the moment.
There's no one answer on that, is there, in terms of how you get that confidence back? It's the same as all of us, I suppose, in life, isn't it? It's such an intangible thing, confidence. But are there a few different things that when you look back that you think were particularly successful in getting that mojo back, getting that confidence back with MSL?
We've made a total commitment to being open and honest with people. So we will tell people the answers, be it good or bad, usually good. We've shown faith in the people that, you know, we believe in them as well. And I think that has been a big thing, that giving people permission to go out and do and take decisions and, you know, push people, be it clients or people within their teams. I think that's really, really important. And, you know, hopefully we're leading by example, and it's generating results, right? The results speak for themselves. So when you start to bring in the Subways, Pumas, Bank of Americas, you know, many others that I can't mention at the moment, into the agency, that breeds confidence. So it's a virtuous circle where you hope to lead by example, and then we're very much seeing people kind of take that up and grab it and run with it themselves.
Chris, Publicis recently bought Octopus Communications, which is a really interesting move for the business, isn't it? Is that something you've been directly involved with or not?
It wasn't something that I directly led, Ben, or they're not going to be sitting within the influence practice that I run, but it's great news for the group, and they're a super talented bunch of people, and it's great to have them with us. I had some conversations with them towards the end of the process, but I wasn't leading it, as I say.
And looking forward, do you see a lot of ways for those two organisations now to work together, Octopus, MSL, or is one of them a bit of a PR play and one of them a bit of a marketing play?
Well, there's definitely opportunities for us to work together, that's for sure. So, I mean, Octopus, as we all know, has kind of made a lot of its reputation in its earlier years as a PR business, but really it's a full-service marketing agency now in the B2B space, specialising in B2B work, which is why it's sat in the creative practice, and I think that will drive an awful lot of their growth for the future. But yeah, for sure, there's a massive opportunity for us to work together. I was on the phone with John just this morning thinking about a new opportunity that they're leading on that we might contribute some of our specialisms to as well. So already, it's week two, right? So it's already turning up with new opportunities.
Brilliant. Chris McCafferty, Group CEO, NSL UK. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Pleasure. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the PR Moment podcast, produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
If you'd enjoyed the show, please do review us on iTunes and give us a decent rating.